Owning rental property is like ordering pizza with anchovies. It's not for everybody. Hi, I'm Rob West. There's no question that a rental property can be a lucrative investment, but it's certainly not a passive investment like owning stock. Today, we'll explore the pros and cons of owning rental property. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, my analogy may have been a bit extreme. Not many folks like anchovies, and probably a whole lot more would like to own rental property someday. In fact, we've been getting a lot more calls about it recently. But my point is that owning a rental property is not for everyone. You have to know your limitations. Do you have the right temperament to be a landlord? You have to be actively involved with a rental property or pay someone else to do it. We'll get into that, but first, let's look at the pros of being a landlord. First, there's the income stream. A rental property provides rental income. That's the whole point. Now, if you're carrying a mortgage on the property, it will eat up your rental income, and it goes without saying that you don't want a negative cash flow. But having a positive cash flow is like having money in the bank, literally. Then there's the appreciation. Homes almost always increase in value. When you sell a rental property, you'll probably make a nice profit, but keep in mind that it may be subject to capital gains taxes. Next, there are tax breaks. The IRS allows you to deduct maintenance and improvement expenses and depreciation. So, for example, you can deduct insurance, mortgage interest, and lawn maintenance. When deducting for depreciation, understand that it will reduce your cost basis, meaning you'll be liable for more capital gains taxes when you sell. Here's another pro. Let's say you buy a beach house to rent out on a seasonal basis. You can use the property yourself for 14 days a year or 10% of the number of days you rent it out and still deduct your expenses. Oh, and one more. You may already own a rental property. By that, I mean you could rent out part of your house, such as a garage or basement. You'd get the rental income and be able to deduct a portion of your mortgage interest and other expenses. So there are plenty of pros to buying a rental property, and that's why a lot of people do it. But what about the cons of owning a rental? Well, first, there's often a huge upfront investment cost if you don't already own the property. Not many people can afford to do it, so there's probably a mortgage involved either when converting a principal residence to a rental or buying one to start out as a rental. That means you must charge enough rent to cover the mortgage plus additional expenses. Will you still be in the black? Next, there's the lack of liquidity. Money in your checking account is considered highly liquid. Money tied up in a rental property is considered highly illiquid, meaning you can't get to it quickly or easily. You also have exposure to events you can't control. You must pay taxes, and you must have adequate insurance on the property, but you can't prevent increases in those costs. Another example of that is the neighborhood may decline, making it more difficult to rent out your unit and negatively affect appreciation. You may have difficult tenants who are late with the rent or don't take proper care of your investment, even if you have a security deposit. It doesn't take much to do more damage than a security deposit will cover. But even with considerate tenants, you still need to keep the property in good repair. There will be midnight calls about broken water pipes and toilets that won't flush. Will you grab a tool bag and head over, or will you hire a management company to do that for you? That will cost around 10% of your rental income. The final con is actually having to be a landlord, again, unless you pay someone else to do it. You have to find and vet prospective tenants. Sometimes you have to be firm with folks when they're habitually late with rent or don't pay at all. Do you have the stomach to evict someone? Of course, you want to help a tenant who's having a temporary problem, but can you be firm when it's necessary? These are all things you must consider if you're contemplating being a landlord. It's a big decision, so don't make it alone. Of course, bring God into the discussion in prayer. Ask Him to show you the path you should take. James 1:5 reassures us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. And by the way, you can call with your questions. We'd also love to hear your testimonies as well. How is God working in your financial life as you've applied His principles to your stewardship? I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back after this break.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. One of the most common questions Christians ask is, what is God's will for me? We ask this about where to go to school, who to marry, whether to take a new job. But about such things, believers don't always get a clear answer. God told His people in Deuteronomy 29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." So you don't need to know God's secret plan for your life. He's given us His Word. His Word points us to Jesus, and in Jesus we have all we will ever need. Grow in your walk with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
If you say, I don't have any unchristian friends, that's a shame, because how are you ever going to win your friends if you don't even have any? We're to serve those in darkness, but not participate in their deeds.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series in Ephesians, Belief That Behaves, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I'm so glad you're joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time for the next remainder of the hour to tackle your financial questions today. Whatever is on your mind, this is the time we set aside during the broadcast today to help you process those financial decisions and choices in light of God's Word. Understanding that we live in the tension between money being a good gift and a fallen world that would have us to idolize money. You know, we don't worship 10-foot golden statues anymore, but we do worship other things that can take the place of God in first position in our lives. And I would submit that money is most often that idol that we prop up. So what are we doing to counteract that? Well, we've got to renew our minds in God's Word and understand His perspective and heart on money being a blessing to us to provide and enjoy. I love what Dr. Shane Enett says from Biola University. He joined me on this broadcast several months ago, and he said, Rob, I actually use my time of budgeting as an extension of my worship.
And I said, tell me more. And he said, you know, as I look at the income and the expenses that I have, it's a way for me to celebrate that God has provided. He's provided that money that when I see that food expense item from the grocery store, I can celebrate that God has equipped me and provided for me to provide for my family in terms of being able to have a meal. When I'm able to give and see that coming through my spending plan, I'm able to celebrate that God allowed me to do that. When I paid for that vacation, I'm delighted that God provided for me so I can strengthen relationships and deepen our family dynamic. And, you know, you can look at all of these things and say, yes, money is a good gift from God to provide and to enjoy and to give and even to invest in a way that promotes human flourishing. But we have to be on our guard to be sure that it doesn't become the object of our affection and our devotion, trying to fill a place that money will never be able to fulfill. It will never be able to provide us the significance or the security or the abundance we long for, despite the fact the world would tell us the opposite. So each day we want to encourage you to that end, take you back into God's Word, and help you process those very practical decisions and choices you're facing today. So what's on your mind in your financial life? Is it paying down credit card debt or balancing the budget? Maybe it's investing for the future. Or how do you align your values with your investments? Any of those and more are in play today. You can call right now. Our team is standing by. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We'll begin taking your calls here in just a moment. So go ahead and get in the queue, 800-525-7000, with your financial questions today here on American Family Radio. Let's tackle an email. This comes to us from Stephen, and he writes, our son is struggling to pay the bills for his business, and he's taken out several payday loans to make ends meet. He needs to connect with someone who can give him some business financial guidance or possibly look into debt consolidation. Do you have any suggestions? And I would say, yes, we absolutely need to get him to break that cycle of that payday loan borrowing. I would say if he has credit card debt, a great place to start would be with Christian Credit Counselors. Our friends there at CCC have worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of our listeners. They could get him on a spending plan, which is going to be key to breaking this cycle of the payday loan borrowing. We need to get him moving toward paying this debt off once and for all. Then they can do that through reduced interest rates and a level monthly payment. You know, these payday loans, while often marketed as a quick solution for an immediate financial need, have major problems, starting with the interest rates. I mean, understand that a payday loan typically carries with it an annual percentage rate, if you run it out over a year, often exceeding 400%. I mean, these are just atrocious. You've got that on top of a cycle of debt. So the structure of the payday loans usually leads to a cycle where borrowers can't afford to pay off the loan without taking another. And this means you pay far more in fees than the original amount borrowed on top of this astronomical interest rate. So you end up getting trapped in debt. Put that on top of predatory lending practices. So many of these payday loan lenders operate with practices that are considered predatory. They're targeting individuals who are in a desperate financial situation. Often this includes, you know, not properly assessing their ability to repay. It could lead to a loan that borrowers can't realistically pay back. It has major impact on their credit. It gets them into overdraft and other bank fees. You've got that on top of the fact that there's significant emotional and psychological stress here. And then there's just the community impact. You know, on a broader scale, the prevalence of payday loan outlets in lower income neighborhoods really often exacerbates the poverty as these communities become disproportionately reliant on these high cost credit options, draining money that could be used for community development or personal savings. So it's really just a scourge, I think, of many of these communities where they exist. I would stay far from them, and let's look for healthy ways to lean into financial challenges, get assistance, perhaps with the body of Christ, somebody who can come alongside you to provide some financial assistance, using an organization like Christian Credit Counselors to actually put you on a plan to pay the debt off once and for all, not just get you trapped in a cycle of debt, is obviously key. So, Stephen, I know that's a long answer to a short question, but hopefully that helps you and gives you some further incentive to get your son out of this cycle once and for all. Thanks for writing to us. By the way, if you have a question you'd like to send along in addition to calling, just send that to askrob@faithfi.com. All right, let's head to the phones. Jamar is in Arkansas. You'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
I wanted to, I guess, kind of ask, do you give advice on, I had a situation that kind of came up where I had got behind on my bills or whatever. And I do have like a job that I do work. I get paid maybe about $700 a week.
Yeah.
But some of my bills I kind of fell behind on. I wanted to know, is there some type of way, information that you could give out on maybe getting with like a company that has a lower APR? Cause like the interest is just tearing me up right now. And I reached out to, company, I think it's called, National Debt Relief, and they said they could do it, but I just wanted to get like a second opinion before I just jumped into something.
Well, I'm delighted you called, Jamar. Listen, you can do this. The starting point is to break this cycle of borrowing, and I realize that's harder than ever with expenses up across the board, and you're dealing with $700 a week and trying to make it all work, but it's got to be in the context of a plan. So we've got to get you on a spending plan so you understand what's coming in every month, and then you give every dollar a job. You know, we got to start with the big four, keeping the utilities and the lights on, keeping gas in the car to get to work, food on the table, and a roof over your head. But beyond that, everything else is negotiable as we right-size the spending so you can live within your means. As a part of that, we've got to get you moving toward paying this debt off once and for all. And you hit on something really important, and that is not only a payment that fits in your budget, but with lower interest rates so that you've got more going to principal reduction every month to get you on a path to get out of debt. But the key is, with that slow and steady approach and with that new spending plan, once it's paid off, we don't ever go back there again. And we take that money and roll it back into the budget, into building an emergency fund, maybe saving for the future. The place to go is ChristianCreditCounselors.org. These are believers. They've worked with thousands of our listeners. They'll do exactly what you need to do and help you set up a budget. Again, Jamar, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. God bless you, my friend. We'll be right back.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions on anything financial today. The number 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, before the break, we were talking about paying off high interest credit card debt. We were also talking about payday loans. I mentioned that the annual percentage rate, the APR for payday loans, can often exceed 400%. And you've even got extreme cases where that's in the thousands of percent. I mean, unbelievable. The loan amounts we're talking about are usually somewhere between $100 and $1,000. But here's one of the keys is that I mentioned that they lead to a cycle of debt. Think about this, and this is significant. Studies have shown that about 80% of payday loans are rolled over or followed by another loan within 2 weeks. So see, this just indicates that there's a cycle of debt here where borrowers often end up paying, of course, more in fees and interest than the original loan amount, often far more. But worse than that, it just keeps you in this perpetual cycle that you can never break free of. What we want to do is help you break free to live in the freedom of understanding that our abundance is not found in our things. It's in our relationship with God and what He's done for us on the cross through the shed blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Starting there and then realizing everything we receive from God is a good gift, and that it can be used for God's glory as we provide for our family. But the key is we've got to live within our means. And I realize that's challenging right now. I mean, take a basket of groceries over the last 3.5-4 years, we're talking 27% increases. I mean, what's happening in the car market and housing insurance, homeowners insurance and automobile insurance. I mean, it's just really challenging these days, and I get it. And so what we have to do is rethink our spending and really go back to that plan. If you don't have a budget or a spending plan, it's nearly impossible to stay on budget. And even if you have surplus, I would argue that perhaps your money is not finding itself into the places that truly reflect what's most important to you without a spending plan. And we would love for you to download the FaithFi app. If you don't have a plan, we can help you get one set up using the tried and true envelope system. Very simple to do, and you can know where you stand in each one of those envelopes at any point during the month. Julie and I use it daily, and we wouldn't be able to stay on budget without it. You can check it out at faithfi.com or just search for FaithFi in your app store. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. By the way, we do have a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. The number, 800-525-7000 with your financial questions today, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Blake in North Carolina. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my question today. I really appreciate listening to you every day I can.
Well, thank you.
I have a question. My husband is a pastor, and he's not retired. He is still pastoring. He's 73. But he has an annuity through the church that we have not done anything with yet. And I know he's getting to the age, I don't know if he has to take the required minimum distribution or not. I think I understand that if he's still pastoring or working, he doesn't have to. Is that correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He has an annuity. It's like about $260. We are trying to decide whether he should take it through the annuity board or whoever the people are, or should he roll it over into something, even our credit union or something, and then just take a set percentage from it each month. What's your thought?
Yeah, it's a great question. So let me just back up and make sure, for the sake of our audience, they're clear on that required minimum distribution. So you don't have to take the RMD from the plan that your current employer sponsors. But I want to make sure our audience is understanding that even if you're still working, you do have to take RMDs from IRAs and simple IRAs and SEP IRAs or other retirement plans in which you're no longer an active participant. But that exclusion on the RMD is the plan that your current employer sponsors. And as you mentioned, he's still employed, and therefore he would not have to take that RMD for that particular retirement plan until he separates from service. Now, this lump sum versus annuity option that you're raising is an important one, and it's one that I think you need to give some careful consideration to, perhaps even deciding or connecting with an advisor who can help you look at this in light of your specific needs, because there's not a one-size-fits-all option here. You know, the benefit to the lump sum is there's more investment potential, so you've got more investment options that could lead to higher returns than you would see in an annuity. You've also got flexibility because you can use the money for any purpose. If you needed long-term care or you needed to pull it out to, you know, buy a home or something like that, you'd have access to the money. What's the downside? Well, you've, of course, got the investment risk. And so you've got to manage a lump sum, which means you either need to do it yourself or hire someone, but you need to be willing to tolerate the market fluctuations, and poor performance could erode your retirement savings. So you just need to be, you know, really thoughtful about that. There's, of course, longevity risk. So if you live a long life, there's the possibility that you could outlive your savings versus the annuity, which is potentially a guaranteed income stream for you or your husband and your life together. There are tax implications as well, especially if you pull it out of a tax-deferred environment. With the annuity option, the benefit is primarily that longevity protection, because it will ensure the payments continue throughout your entire life, you know, you and your spouse as the annuitant. And so that just offsets that risk of outliving your savings. And there's just a simplified approach here because you don't have to think about how to invest it. We call it mailbox money. You just walk out and get that check every month. The downside is less flexibility and then the fees and the surrender charges. So I think it ultimately comes down to a planning decision. What other guaranteed income sources do you have? And does this really fill a gap that allows you to know that your bills are covered? And how important is it to you to have access to the money, not only now, but in the future, beyond just a monthly income stream? So those are some things to consider. I'd probably connect with an advisor to follow it through. Hang on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
The cell phone is the new transistor radio. Just like your grandfather may have carried his radio wherever he went, you carry your phone with you all the time, which means you can listen to American Family Radio anytime you want with the AFR app. You'll find live talk programming, 24-hour Christian music, and access to podcasts of all your favorite AFR shows. Just go to the App Store and download the AFR app for free. Your grandfather would be proud.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today, helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We've got room for you. What's on your mind today? Call right now at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Diane. Go right ahead.
Okay, I have four family members. They're in their 30s. They're single, and they make $40,000 a year, each of them, and they want to buy a house together. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, so are they, they're related to one another? They're siblings, is that right?
Yeah. Two are my kids, and two are, nephews.
Yeah. Very good. You know, it's a viable strategy, no doubt. In fact, we're seeing a significant rise in the number of families that are doing this just because of the incredible cost right now of home ownership. Of course, the benefits are obvious. Cost sharing, you're pooling your resources, so it allows you, to make it more affordable and, have home ownership. If it's a multifamily property, it allows each unit or each family unit to have their own space and benefit from the shared expenses. So that might be something to look for. If it's not, then, there's the benefit of just being able to pool your resources as the primary benefit. Beyond that, I would just say, there's also benefits around built-in childcare and, educational support. It can be great to have support in a time of need, depending on what's going on. And then there's obviously the security issues, where there's a sense of safety in numbers. I would just say the downside, which they just need to weigh versus, being on their own and perhaps renting for a period of time as they build up more money, to be able to buy something on their own, would just be, the lack of personal space and, the decision-making process. So how are the decisions going to be handled? Do they always have to be unanimous? And if not, how are we going to get to those decisions? I think boundaries with regard to, especially when there's kids involved and we're kind of all in each other's space, financial complications as well, just in terms of, is there a disparity in terms of financial contributions or responsibilities that can lead to resentment if you're not careful there? So I think with regard to that, it really just takes a lot of thought and prayer on the front end and then a lot of really clear and open communication before you go into it so that we determine, you know, how are we going to handle some of these financial responsibilities? How are we going to handle the decision making and the common space? How are we going to handle an exit strategy? What if one person wants to get out of it? How does that happen? And you need to decide all of that on the front end. But assuming that's been done, again, this is increasingly a way that a lot of folks are, you know, coming together to say this is going to allow us to own a home in a way that we couldn't otherwise. Does that make sense?
Yes. I forgot about all those other things to think about.
Yeah. So I think that's the key, is really just being thoughtful before you go into it, because, you know, it's quickly, you know, our minds go to, wow, we could, you know, buy this house and have this much space and imagine having, you know, the front and the backyard, and it's going to be great. And it could be, but let's think through all the other more practical kind of daily decisions that are going to come up. And, you know, just have some open and honest communication between everybody about how we're going to tackle these, because the more you do on the front end to communicate and even document kind of the approach that each person's going to take and some of the decisions, will A, potentially identify something that might derail it, and that's the time to find that, is before you get into it, or B, might just set you up for success because you've had the hard conversations and you've really outlined a plan that allows this to work for everybody. So I would say, yes, it's something to consider, but just mention to them some of the things we talked about and encourage them to really have some of those open and honest communication plans in place, and then get everything in writing so everybody's on the same page and we don't have unmet expectations. Thanks for your call, Diane. We appreciate you being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Missouri. Hi, Guy. Go ahead.
Good morning. You probably answered this question many times, but I don't always get to listen to all the programs. But concerning auto and life insurance, or not life, auto and home insurance, I'm sure everyone listening is probably going through the same issues, but I use an independent agent so that they can, you know, try to find the best possible policies. But just in my last renewal, like my deductible went from $1,000 to $2,500. Wow. And now there, some of the companies are requesting, like, for hail damage, like a $7,500 deductible. It just seems like, I know we're at the mercy of these companies, and I've asked my agent, you know, why is all this happening? And he kind of gives me an answer that there's just been an excess of claims. And I don't know if you have any more insight or just something maybe I've missed before.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt this is absolutely going on. I mean, there's been about I think the last data I saw was there's about a 20% increase nationally over a 2-year period in homeowners insurance premiums. And then you've got state specific increases. I don't know about Missouri specifically, but Florida, you know, has seen some of the highest increases with premiums up 7% just in 1 year. That's, you know, more than 4 times the national average. And there, it's largely due to natural disasters. And so, you know, you've got obviously hurricane issues that have led to those increases. Louisiana's one. Maine is another one that has seen some pretty significant rises. You know, it's due in part to inflation. So it's just the increased cost of labor and materials and repairs, which directly affects insurance premiums related to homeowners insurance. And then the CPI, Consumer Price Index, a part of that is car insurance prices are up about 22% in the past year. You've got natural disasters, which we mentioned related to Florida, but that's affecting, of course, other parts of the country as well with severe weather events. You had some labor and material shortages in both the construction and the auto repair industry, which has affected it. Now, that has largely been worked through in the last year, but we're still dealing with some of the fallout of that. And then you've got, you know, a rise in claims and repair costs. You keep in mind, during the pandemic, you know, people were not driving. And so we saw a pretty significant decline in the number of auto accidents. Well, obviously, as people returned to work, those went back up. And then you've got the cost of car repairs, which has surged because you've got more expensive high-tech components that are driving these automobiles, which just makes it more and more difficult and costly to replace. So what do you do about all of this? Because it's not going away. I think number one is to shop around, especially if you've been with the same company for several years. Often you're going to get your most competitive rates in the first couple of years. You know, you'll see a lot of this advertised, but you want to look at bundling policies. That's going to help. You mentioned this, so this may not be an option for you, but for some folks, if you haven't considered, you know, opting for a higher deductible and then putting the difference in your emergency savings, that's an option. Look for discounts like AAA and security systems and those types of things, and then just renew it and review it annually. That would be the key as well. I hope that helps, Guy. I know this is a challenging one. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
I believe the left is, most of the people on the left either are sympathetic with the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protesters, or they're afraid of them.
Yeah.
That's why they don't change the policies. They should be saying, if you're protesting on a college campus with something over your face, you'll be arrested. All right? My rant's over.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. I've got room for a couple of additional questions here in this final segment. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. You know, as we think about this idea of shared ownership of a home, you know, one of the factors that, you know, we don't consider is just, you know, how challenging the housing environment is right now, and perhaps we need to delay that purchase. You know, so often folks will say, well, I don't want to rent. I'm just throwing money down the drain. And yet that might be the very best thing for you to do in this season, is just to continue to rent and save. The key is to live well below your means so you can be putting money aside that allows you to get in with that down payment. And I realize, especially if you're entering the housing market for the very first time, that's hard. I mean, home affordability is really challenging right now. The average home right now in the United States is north of $400,000. So that's a 20% down payment. We're talking about $80,000 that needs to be saved up. That takes time. But be patient. And I would just say, don't stretch and try to buy a house you really can't afford. It's just going to create a whole host of other challenges. You know, food, housing, transportation, those are the budget busters that we so often see. We can deal with food often much more easily and quickly than we can selling a car or certainly a house because of the time and the expense associated with selling a piece of real estate. And so just be on your guard of getting into a home that you can't afford. Be very, very careful there. I would also say, related to the issue we just talked about before the break with the rising cost of insurance premiums, in particular auto insurance premiums, but also homeowners, you know, beyond, you know, shopping around and increasing your deductible, looking for other discounts like, you know, safe driver discounts or a security system for your home, things like that. One of the factors that is related to these insurance premiums is your credit score. And a lot of people don't realize that insurers often use credit scores to determine premiums. So, you know, maintaining that good credit score is not only going to help you in terms of future borrowing to keep your, you know, terms favorable, but it could also help you with regard to your insurance. So how do you improve that credit score? You know, that's a question we get often here at Faith and Finance. Let me just mention the top five ways that you can boost your credit score. One is, you know, goes without saying, and that is to pay your bills on time. Your payment history is the most significant factor in your credit score. It makes up for about 35% of your score. The second, of course, reducing your credit card balances, because credit utilization, the percentage of your available credit, is 30% of your score, and you want to keep your credit utilization below 30% of your limit for each card. So paying down those high balances can quickly improve your credit score. Now, when we get beyond those first two, the impact begins to diminish, but these are important. And number three would be avoid opening new card accounts frequently. Each time you apply for a new credit account, a hard inquiry is made on your credit, which just simply means you authorize the inquiry for the purpose of someone evaluating whether or not to extend you a loan. That's going to temporarily lower your score. Number four is check your credit report for errors. You want to regularly review that credit report for inaccuracies so you can correct that account information that's wrong or address fraudulent activities. And disputing errors can remove that negative information that's unfairly dragging down your score. And then number five is you want to maintain, to the extent you can, and by the way, I wouldn't pay interest in order to do this, but you want to think about having a diverse mix of credit. So that means you are rewarded in terms of the credit scoring algorithm for having different types of credit. So credit cards, which is a revolving account, a mortgage, and an auto loan, which is an installment account, having those various types of credit also improves your score. So these are probably the big five that are going to move your score most significantly. And again, it's not about just being able to have a high credit score just to say you did. And I certainly don't want you to have one so you can go out and borrow more money and pay more interest. We want to get you out of debt. But what I'm saying is that this is a factor related to insurance premiums. And so the extent to which you can get that score up is going to have benefits for you in that area as well. So just something to think about. All right. Before we round out the program today, we want to try to get a couple of additional questions in. I've got room for one more at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Just
sure.
A comment, a thought, really. So what if the churches came together, like each individual church, you know, and they just said, you know, we're going to write our own insurance policy, have an insurance industry for some time. I have certain regulations, I guess, that their insurance companies, I think, require to take individuals just for, you know, the risk pools or whatever. But if the churches would be exempt from that because they're the church. So if they just say, kind of like you have the health share companies that act as insurance, essentially. But what if the churches just came together and said, you know what, we're going to offer our congregation here auto insurance, homeowners insurance, discounts for that, or, you know, to be able to cover that, maybe even life insurance. Is that something you think would potentially be able to
Yeah, I mean, you know, we certainly saw examples of the members of the church, the body of Christ, caring for one another in the early church in Acts. And I love that model. You know, I think a church-based insurance initiative could be a powerful way to care for members. And really, it just embodies the values of community and mutual aid. The challenge is, and this is where you would get tripped up, is it just requires careful planning. You know, it would need really strong financial and administrative capabilities, and then a clear understanding of the legal and regulatory landscape that would impact it. But obviously, if you could address all of those things, and that's no, you know, insignificant item, you know, it could serve as a model for, I think, other faith communities looking to provide for their members' physical and spiritual well-being at the same time. I think perhaps the best picture of this, Steve, is in the health space with organizations like, you know, the Christian Healthcare Ministries, you know, which is just a great, I think, example of the body of Christ coming together to say we want to share each other's medical bills. And in doing so, you know, by serving people who are people with faith values and therefore committing not to use tobacco and, you know, other things that lead to health challenges, but also pooling their resources, you know, allow for a much more cost-effective way to deal with the cost of healthcare, and do that as the body of Christ, which offers a significant prayer element as well. And so chministries.org, Christian Healthcare Ministries, is the oldest in this space. They've shared $10 billion in medical expenses with believers. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what this could look like in other areas. To your point, I think it would just be challenging for an individual church to do it just because of the reasons that I mentioned. Does that make sense, though?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just like I said, I'd love to see it. I think it's maybe instead of just one of those ways to be, you know, ahead of the game, instead of just being reactive, be proactive, you know, and because I echo the other gentleman's call that, you know, our auto insurance just came in here and it's just absolutely ridiculous. So me and my wife are trying to figure out how to deal with the adjusted premium. It's just nuts. So I'm trying to just figure out what can we do, you know? So.
Yeah. No doubt about it. It really is discouraging to see what's going on in that space. And I think getting creative is probably a big part of that solution. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling, sir. We appreciate you weighing in today on the program. You know, it really is challenging as we think about how we can address this. And, you know, depending on the part of the country that you're in, I mean, there's more and more people now in Florida that are just going out without or going without homeowners insurance, which just creates a real significant risk as a steward of your home. And yet it's just become unattainable for some folks given the rising costs. Joseph has a thought on all this in Mississippi. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. Good day to y'all.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you as well. I have over 20-something years experience in holding insurance companies accountable. I will not name any names, so forth. However, when we have catastrophic weather and inclements, I've worked with attorneys and so forth. I tell you the truth, this one adjuster, I won't name names, like I said, we were going on our third estimate after Hurricane Rita. And before he got halfway out of the yard, he threw his hands up and he said, sir, he said, I'm going to recommend mediation. He said, you will get your money. And I said, thank you so much, sir. And I said, tell me one thing. And then he cut me off right there. He said, I will tell you what you want to know. And he said, your thoughts are real. And I said, he said, but I will deny it until pigs fly because I've been with this company for 19 years. And I said, sir, I totally understand. I'm not here to hurt anybody but to help our fellow neighbors and so forth, get their houses repaired. He said, we are trained to deny and prey off of good people's nature. He said, when I finish, I'm only going to write for contractors and homeowners. He said, that's not the worst of it. He said, the upper echelons make wages on how much money they are going to make off of each storm or catastrophic situation. I said, I knew this in my gut.
Yeah.
And so forth. And yes.
Well, that's incredibly disheartening, Joseph. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, but let me just say I appreciate you weighing in, and I think it just underscores the need to, number one, understand who your insurer is and do a lot of reviewing of reviews and understanding the fine print, because there certainly have been companies that have delayed claims processing. They'd offered lowball settlement offers. There's complex policy language, automatic denials of claims. So you've got to have regulation and oversight. We've got to have consumer advocacy for you to stand up for yourself. And you've got to be informed, and don't just accept the first offer. Go back and push back. Great call. Thanks for being with us today, folks. Lord bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.